Hi folks, welcome to 2 Feet Apart. This is an intersectionally inclusive space where community meets storytelling. It's a space that is nurtured by vulnerability and the sharing of our stories because they are our greatest strengths and our strongest powers. With that in mind, happy listening. Hi everyone, and welcome back to 2 Feet Apart with me, your host, Peachy Patra. Today we have on Melissa. Melissa is a writer, a community manager, and the host of the Pain With Me podcast. I'm so excited to chat today. Melissa, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit about the community you manage, what you write about, your podcast, all the things?
Of course. I love talking, so it's perfect. So I actually just celebrated my 30th birthday in December. So I'm officially part of the Dirty 30 Club. Thank you. A little Sagittarius energy over here. I am married. I got married in 2022. I have a beautiful rescue lab husky. Her name is Echo. And I currently live in Montreal. I feel like I'm in class right now, you know, when they're like, give like five things.
Tell us about yourself.
I love baking. I make really good chocolate chip cookies. And yeah, I have a podcast that I started in May of 2023. And I talk about painful periods and the uterus and just everything around menstrual health, because I don't think it's something that's talked enough about. And I'm just really, really passionate about it. I have super complex periods. I have pain most of the month, and I'm still on the search for a diagnosis because, as we know, uterus havers have a very difficult time speaking up when it comes to doctors, or even just being listened to if they actually speak up. So that's my goal with that. And community manager, I am lucky enough to work from home. I work for a friend of mine's company as a VA doing multiple things. And so one of our clients is a social media agency, and they are the loveliest people. I absolutely love working with them. And we manage, I want to say, almost 15 different accounts. And it's really interesting. Yeah, it's really fun. It goes from something like bacon. I'm a vegetarian, so it's really funny to post like bacon memes. And then to architecture. It's really, really fun. I love it. I love that there's always something new to learn. So those are the different communities. And then I have my own pages. And I also community manage for someone who you may know. I believe she's a part of Monday Girl. Her name is Asia, and she has vaginismus. She has a huge following on TikTok and on Instagram. She's growing to talk about vaginismus and pelvic floor dysfunction and stuff. And so I help her with that and then building her her new projects.
Amazing. You are a talented individual. I love it.
Thank you.
So I was going to say, what led you to speaking up more about, painful periods and pain that comes with having a uterus and things like that? And I recognize that you said that you are someone that suffers from that yourself, but what inspired you to be like, no, this needs to be talked about?
It's actually a really great question. I think in realizing, as I talk with my friends and with their friends and just seeing online the chatter, is that everyone is seeming to have the same experiences and they're terrible experiences. The doctor's appointments, the education, the lack of education, the fact that everything is sexualized when it comes to our menstrual health. And I'm sorry, I'm on my period. I am bleeding out. I cannot feel my legs. The last thing I'm thinking about is having sex. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And a few days ago, I posted on my own period page asking for some period stories. And a friend of mine from a long time ago reached out to me and told me that she got her period when she was 9. Mm-hmm. And the first thing the doctors told her was, the boys are going to love you now because you're becoming a woman. Yes. And she has been diagnosed with both endo and PCOS. And she has been trying for 5 years to have a hysterectomy. And the doctors keep telling her, you're too young. You're too young. What if you want kids? What if you change your mind? She doesn't even have a decision. She can't have her own decision on her own body. And so it was, I guess, accumulation of all of those things. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know what? There's podcasts on business. There are podcasts on absolutely everything out there. I'm pretty sure I saw something that like people review pickles. So why if I know, why if all of these crazy topics are out there, why can't we talk about something that so many people relate to? Like half the world menstruates and half the world does not have the proper education. So I started doing it. I had intense imposter syndrome at the beginning. I was like, why am I talking about this? And my husband is the best person to kind of bring me back down to earth and be like, you have all of these things that you want to advocate for. And yeah, and since then I've met some amazing people, made some really great connections, and there are some really great people in this space trying to make a change. And my goal is to have everyone realize that we need to talk about periods. We need to normalize period talk. Period.
Amen. I love that. I have started like talking about it with my 2.5-year-old because I'm a single mom. He's gonna like, there's no distracting. Go see whoever while I'm trying to like, while I'm getting tampons or pads or what. So he knows the difference between a tampon and a pad. He knows that if you have a vagina, you have a uterus, and that's why you need them. And he knows all of these things. And I'm like, you know what? Your future partner, if they are a uterus owner, are gonna thank me because they're gonna
Yep.
feel so seen and understood, I hope. And I hope that it's something that like as he grows, it continues to be normalized. But I think back and I reflect on like my family when I started my podcast. My family has no idea what I do for work. I try to ask and they're like, you have a podcast? I'm like, about what? They're like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, what do I do for like my job? They're like, you have a lot of meetings. I'm like, I know, but like, about what? They're like, I have no idea. But I think if I would have told my dad that I had a podcast about periods or a podcast about uterus pain and things like that, he's very like old school. I think he might have like shriveled up inside a little bit. He would have been like, what is going on? What is happening? Why are we talking about this? What was the kind of response and reaction from your family and your community?
Oh, great question. Luckily, I have always had a very, very open household. My mom was always very open. She had me quite young. She had me at 23, and I have two younger brothers. One is 5 years younger, one is 18 years younger. And we have always normalized the conversation. My brother, who is 25, he it's normal for him. He'll ask me, "Hey, how are you feeling? I know you're on your period. How are you doing?" And
I
it's
love
not like one
that.
of those like, oh, me too. He really like, I think it really helped him with his friends growing up because, he had friends that were menstruators and he kind of normalized it with his guy friend group. And I normalized it around his guy friend group as well. They would be at home and I'd be like, this is a tampon. And I'm gonna tell you. Yeah. And so luckily my family was always very open. My stepdad as well. The one thing he told me was like, listen, I don't want you to be in pain. You tell me when you need anything. Just don't flush your tampons down the toilet. And I was like, okay, that's a good deal. Deal there. We're good. So that was good. As you can tell, I'm pretty open to begin with. And so it was really interesting and a really big change for me when I started dating my now husband because he's Algerian and his family is much more conservative. Well, his parents are much more conservative. And they came here just over 35 years ago, but it's still a really big shock, right? And they grew up during like right at the end of the French Revolution and just so many things. And in Algeria, unfortunately, they're really not as advanced, especially when it comes to period health. They have separate period products. When you go purchase, everything is separate. You can't get a box of like pads or tampon. It's so unsanitary. Because what if that little plastic cuts open, right? Like, what if you that little package is opened. That's not sanitary. So they're not as advanced. And my husband is someone who's always been very, very open. He actually helped his sisters learn how to use period products. When they approached him, they were like, "Hey, Yanis, how do I use this? I don't want to go to mom and dad. Can you help me go buy tampons?" And so he went to the store for them. He sat outside the bathroom door, read the little pamphlet that was like
Oh my
really
God.
scary when you're like 10 years old and you don't know what you're doing. But he's a great big brother. And so that I was really well received when I suggested the idea to him. And I didn't even tell his parents. Honestly, it's none of their business. I know that they would probably ask me, but I tell them openly if I'm in pain. I tell them if I can't come to a family dinner. And they've kind of started normalizing it a bit more. My sister-in-law also has awful periods. So my mother-in-law went through that experience with her, but she did tell her, this is something you keep to yourself. So that was kind of a little bit of a driving force for me to be like, no, it's not. I'm going to start normalizing this. And for my future kids, no one is going to tell them this is something you keep to yourself. So everyone supported me a lot. My cousin is a doula, so she's very open about the body. And I had a lot of support. Everyone shared it when I released my first episode, and they continue sharing it. And my mother-in-law has actually started liking a few of my posts about it. So I was
Oh my
like, okay,
gosh.
progress.
Yeah, huge progress. That's amazing. I love that. And I love to hear that your husband has a similar experience growing up where, that's a commonality with his siblings and something that, he was a part of their life for. 'Cause I think that that's super important when you're younger, just having someone that you can like having a safe space when you're going through that, because especially when you're younger, it's like a little traumatic sometimes, right?
And your first period, no one really talks about this, but it's not the color of blood that you're going to expect, right?
No.
So you're not going to think this is what people have been telling me about. And I don't know about you, but when we learned about periods, we were in high school. Most of us already had our periods.
Yeah.
Like old news, like we know. So some people as young as 9 or 10, like my friends, they got their periods. They didn't know what to do. And if you don't have that safe space, like you said, you're going to hide it. You're going to think you did something bad. So this is why we need to normalize it.
For sure, for sure. And do you talk about like how to normalize it with kids?
Yeah, I do. I double check with the parents, of course. I'm not going to
Yeah.
just like start talking about
Be like, hey,
uteruses
did you know?
and yeah. Sorry. My cousin has 3 daughters, and so we started talking about it. The oldest one is going to be 10 this year, and we started talking about it, and I think she's a little scared of the idea of inserting something in herself. So we talked to her about period underwear and pads and kind of destigmatizing the fact that you only need to use tampons because some people can't if they have pain upon insertion, right? And so we started talking about that, getting books. And just normalizing saying that you're not feeling great this week and it's because you're in a different phase. And then the next week you might feel a lot better because you don't know when it's going to happen. For me, it happened when I was 14. Same with my cousin, but for my friend, like I said, 9 years old. So my niece would literally already have her period.
Yeah.
So we need to normalize that. And then with her younger sisters as well, starting to talk about it. And then, like I said, my brother, who's 12, it's fully normalized for him. If I tell him I'm having cramps, he asks me if he can bring me a tea or if I need anything, some chocolate. And he has a lot of friends that are girls. And so that I'm really happy that he has normalized that because I think that'll help them a lot through the transition when they receive their period.
That is amazing. And when you're having these conversations with kids, how do you find that a lot of them are responding?
With curiosity, a lot of them, I mean, kids are sponges, right? You know that you have a 2.5 year old. So kids are sponges. It's always the why, how come? But I want to know why. And so I'm a very visual person. And so I try to treat them the exact same way. You don't talk to them like they're babies. You talk to them like they're kids. You'll change certain words, but I'm really big on not using like a woo-woo or a hoo-ha, like this is a vagina. Right, like the proper terms, and again, has been passed through the parents. This is what my mom and my cousins have said. Like, we're gonna do this from now on, and they always respond with curiosity. They always want to know. They always want to see if they can help. They always want to know for themselves. And I really, really try to approach it from a place of learning and love and not fear. I'm not inciting fear in them that this is going to hurt. I'm telling them that it could hurt. But it could also not hurt, and periods are different for everyone.
Amazing. And I think using the proper language is something that like I personally am super passionate about. I'm passionate about it for a plethora of reasons. They say it reduces your risk of being sexually abused, all of the things. So with my son, he knows penis, testicles, he knows vagina, he knows vulva.
I don't know if he fully grasps the difference between vagina and vulva, but he knows that a tampon goes in the vagina and a pad goes on the vulva. So maybe he's kind of getting it. But one of the things is, as they, sorry, my train of thought just like got overwhelmed. I was like, oh my God, there's so many more things I need to teach him. As we're teaching kids, what are we defining as normal? Like, how can someone listening to this podcast be like, wait, maybe my period pain is not normal? What's the standard that we're using here when we're teaching and we're having these discussions?
It's definitely really hard to say, because oftentimes you'll kind of teach based on your own experience, mm-hmm. right? So for example, my mom did not have painful periods. She had bleeding, heavy on the first few days, a bit of cramping, cravings, and sometimes she was a little moody. So like a little PMS. Yeah. For me, debilitating, in bed for 7 days straight, bleeding through my tampon. Didn't have period underwear at the time when you and I were growing up, but mm-hmm. if I had, that would have been a lifesaver. So I kind of tried to say that anything that will affect your life to the point that you can't operate, mm-hmm. it's definitely not normal. And again, I didn't learn about endometriosis until maybe like 7 or 8 years ago. My aunt, I actually have it on both sides of the family. Both aunts on both sides had endometriosis and were only diagnosed with it after they gave birth because the doctor was in there. The doctor was crazy. Like, oh, you have like 15 lesions. And they were like, awesome. Thank you so much. And yeah. it's insanity. So I try to say, if something doesn't feel good, you need to tell me. You need to tell your mom. You need to tell someone that you feel comfortable talking to them about it. And for me, if you cannot function, if you can't do regular things, that is not a normal period. Mm-hmm. I have something that I call period brain, which is like the luteal phase, like the week right before. I can't think. Like everything is in and out of my head right away. And the fact that I can't walk on the first few days, that is not normal. Mm-hmm. But there are also people that will go through bursts of pain when they have PCOS because the cysts are popping. That's also yes. not normal. You shouldn't not be able to walk or have gained 50 pounds in a matter of months and nothing changed, right? It's a hormone imbalance. So it's really difficult to tell them what is normal and what is not, but essentially anything that they're feeling for pain, we tell them, hey, show me where it hurts. Tell me what your pain is. And then I try to have them rate it on like a 1 to 10 type of scale. And oftentimes kids will be like, no, I'm tough. I'm tough. It's a 7. And it's like, it's hard, especially for tall kids that have growing pains. Mm-hmm. My nieces are going to be really tall. And one of them has intense growing pains in her knees, but she started to have pain elsewhere as well. But it's really important that she started to identify it. So mm-hmm. the main thing is keeping track of it and being able to advocate for them when you go to the doctor if they have abnormal period pain.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And so would you say that's the first step if someone's listening and they're like, you know, you're right, I do have abnormal pain, is the first step, would you say, having that conversation with your doctor?
It's really hard for me to recommend doctors because I have been mm-hmm. gaslit by them so much. And yeah. unfortunately, I was gaslit by a female doctor 2 years ago. She was doing a test for me while I was on my period. My husband had to like literally help me walk. And she pressed so hard on my ovaries that I was bawling my eyes out. And I asked her to stop and she was not listening to me. So that is like my last experience. But however, there are some amazing doctors out there. So I will say that if you have brought it up to your regular family doctor or to a doctor in the past that has not listened to you, go for a second opinion. People mm-hmm. think that one doctor, what they say, that's what it is. No, they're not going to know everything. They're not going to want to take the time to listen to you if they think that you're too young or that you couldn't possibly have this just based on their own experience, their own research, whatever. But if you think something's wrong, you know your body. So go see someone else. Go see a naturopath. Go see a dietitian. Like, try to help the symptoms. Find the root cause. It's not just doctors that can help. It mm-hmm. definitely does help to get a diagnosis. But my main thing is go see someone who you know has listened to someone else. I have a friend of mine who was just diagnosed with endo, and I asked her for her doctor's name to be added to the list to at least go see them, because this is something that they have worked with before. Just like pelvic floor dysfunction, if you don't go see a doctor that has experience in pelvic floor dysfunction, they might not know what they need to look for to diagnose you, which is fine. They're not robots, mm-hmm. right? So my biggest thing is finding the right fit for you. Do some research, look at their types of patients. You can even ask, do you have patients that have endo or PCOS or whatever you think you might have?
Mm-hmm. That's so important. I really like that tip.
Thank you.
To totally switch gears here, I'm curious because you mentioned, you know, different phases of your cycle and feeling different things and having different symptoms. How do you feel about like cycle syncing? This is something that I've only recently come across online, people sharing more about it. I tried it for a little bit and I don't know if I was doing it incorrectly, but I was like, this isn't meshing well with me. Like, I'm just not in the mood for what it was recommending. But how do you feel? And like, what's your experience with cycle syncing, things like the way that you're eating, the way that you're moving your body, things like that?
I love this question. I think that some people want to do the entire experience because there mm-hmm. are those types of people. And some people might want to just do certain parts of it.
Yeah.
Like I have a pretty particular diet. I'm a vegetarian and sometimes I eat fish, so like pescatarian, but I try to reduce dairy. So some of the recommendations I can't always have. So then I might just do the movement version of cycle syncing. And I'll do, you know, more intense workouts at the beginning, right after my period, luteal phase, yoga, something more comforting. That works for me. I think that cycle syncing is really kind of different based on the person, because some people do perfectly fine in their luteal phase. Some people like me are dead on the couch for 2 weeks because mm-hmm. it's just too hard. So you kind of have to go with what you can allow yourself. And you're a single mom. You're very busy. You have a podcast, you have a full-time job, you have a full-time kid. And I don't think it's realistic for you to go through those changes 100% and then see such a big difference, you know? So I would suggest doing it by one thing first. Start cycle syncing with your food. If that's the biggest thing, then do that. For example, I guess I kind of do that. If I do eat dairy, I make sure I don't have it 2 weeks before my period, because if not, it's just going to be the worst period. It makes it even worse for me. Yeah. So it's kind of like testing different things. And mm-hmm. for some people, food might not affect them. For some people, it's really the workouts. A friend of mine posted this morning that she's really, really hard working out, but then the week before her period and the week of her period, no energy. She can't do it, but then she feels bad because she can't work out. So yes. That's like the different cycle syncing, right? Then you'll change what you do. You don't stop, but you change it. So mm-hmm. I think you have to find what works for you. And also the information out there, you have to make sure it comes from someone that actually knows what they're talking about, because there are a lot of people that'll say they started cycle syncing and just share their own experience, but they'll kind of share it like they're teaching you, but yeah. It might not be the proper information. So I would suggest, if you really want to do it, see a nutritionist, see a holistic health coach even. And I know everyone calls themselves a holistic health coach, but I have some great recommendations if ever. And those people can help you with a proper diet, with your proper supplements that you need. I take zinc, for example, 10 days before my period up until it, because it just helps me. And that was through a dietitian.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think a lot of people forget, like, oftentimes if you have benefits, this is also covered by your benefits most of the time. So take advantage, because that's something that I struggle with. I'm like, it's the end of the year, and then I'm like, dang, I have all these benefits that I did not use up, and I should just take advantage, because, you know, you're paying into them. It's part of your compensation package. You might as well take advantage. So if you're listening and you have benefits, go use them, take advantage. So we've talked about like nutritionists. Are there other professionals that someone maybe wanting to use their benefits could see that would help with period pain and things like that? Like, how do you feel about like acupuncture? I'm not sure if that science kind of lines up. Probably, maybe.
I think it can because it can help relieve stress a lot. Actually, it's so funny that you brought that up because I've been looking into it. A friend of mine is like live and breathing acupuncture. She has a fear of needles, which I do as well. A lot of people do. And then she said she just closes her eyes and it makes her feel so zen is the way she's saying it. And so I would definitely say acupuncture is a really good one. Energy healing. And I know a lot of people think it's like woo-woo, like too much stuff, but it really helps. It really, really helps. And again, I have a bunch of references that I can share with you after. And I would say there's a person that I know, I'm not sure if it would be certified for benefits yet. I think she's getting her certification. Her name is Consciously Kate on socials. And she's fantastic. I absolutely love her, but she talks about cycle syncing, not kind of intensely. It's just something that she works with. So the first few after her menstrual cycle and her follicular phase ovulation, she'll do her hardest work. And then she'll make sure that she has soft time for when she's in her luteal and right before her period, because that's how she works best. And we already know the 9-to-5 life. 5 days a week is not for everybody, definitely not for people that have complex periods. So I think you need to kind of test it out and work with different things and find your groove.
I love that. I think I follow her already, actually. That name sounds super, super familiar. But I like the term like soft time and having that, like it doesn't have to be a stop, like you said previously. Sometimes it's just a shift that's necessary, right? What would you say if you had a message that was being spread universally, everyone in the world could hear it, regardless of if they were a uterus owner or not, what would your message be?
Advocate for yourself. No matter what it is, no matter if it's about your health, about your mental health, about how you're feeling, advocate for yourself. I see this constantly. I go through this myself. I had a very hard time speaking up whenever someone would make me uncomfortable. And then if it happened too much, I would just get angry. And then I realized, hey, I'm the one who held it back. So I need to advocate for myself. Hey, this is making me uncomfortable. Stop. Or at the doctor's or whatever it is. Just advocate for yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. And if they do, they are not in your body. They don't know exactly how you feel. So people need to learn that it's okay to advocate for themselves and to have those boundaries.
That's such a good one. And I don't think I ever shared like my full birth story or anything like that, but it was something that I had to learn when I was pregnant because the system that I was in, I was living in like a really rural area. I was like the only person of color. And there was definitely a lot of like medical bias and things like that that I encountered in medical racism. And I ended up moving near the end of my pregnancy. And when I moved, I connected with a woman of color who was a midwife. And I specifically sought her out because she was a woman of color. And I gave her all of my medical files and medical records. And she read through them during our appointment. And I just kind of sat there twiddling my thumbs. And then she's like, "I have a feeling you came because like you likely had some like racism-based experiences in the past." And she's like, "I'm noticing a lot of like testing that's missing. I'm noticing a lot of things that are missing. So let's get that going." And within 2 weeks, they induced me to have my son because he wouldn't have made it to full term because of some of the symptoms and things that I was having. So that was the one time that I really had to advocate for myself. And it was tough because I had experienced things like I had not PCOS, but when I used to have an IUD, I had the hormonal one and it caused me to have cysts that would burst. And when they burst, I was in like debilitating pain. And I never advocated for myself. I was like, you know what, whatever, this is what it is, kind of thing. But then when it came to, oh no, there's like a little person that I am also responsible for now, I actually have to advocate for myself. That's when it started. And now like I preach it from the rooftops. I'm like, you need to advocate for yourself. You need to preach it. Tell everyone, talk about it, have the conversations, go to the other doctors, get other opinions. Because like I said, he wouldn't have made it. And I think that's the most like eye-opening experience that I've had with it. But I hope that this episode kind of helps someone come to that realization too. And recognizing that some of the things that come with having a period aren't always physical pain. Right? Like it can be PMDD. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that's going through that right now and she just got diagnosed and she's been sharing a lot about it. And it's been really eye-opening for so many people because they're like, wait, like you're right. Having this intense rage or having these like extreme feelings of depression and sadness aren't normal to have before your period. And so it comes back to like, what's that baseline that we're looking at for, you know, what normal is, how subjective is it? And then what's coming up for you from that, right?
Yeah, I'm so sorry that that was your experience, but I am so proud of you for speaking up for yourself. And this is why we need more representation. Mm-hmm. This is why people need to have safe spaces. And I'm so sorry. That gave me goosebumps. I am so happy that your son is safe and that you are safe. And again, I'm so sorry that that was your experience. I get a lot of stories from people telling me these things and it is just, it disgusts me to like my very core. And I'm so sorry, especially as someone who you're like your health and your life and your child's life is on the line here with the medical community and no one is helping you. They're not doing their job. And that goes for so many things. They're not doing their job for so many people, but even less for people of color and for marginalized communities. And so I am so happy that you're talking about that. And that's something that we need to normalize as well, as finding someone that you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Like you said, for PMDD, there's also PME, which will kind of make your whatever symptoms you have, they'll like make it even bigger. Right. So if you're already prone to depression, it's going to make it even bigger. And I'm starting to learn more about that as well. Actually learned it through Kate from Consciously Kate. And it's all these things that people don't know about because research from women and women plus and like anyone who has a uterus, there's no research that's done. No research has been done. They're only starting to now. And even perimenopause, people didn't think that was a thing. People thought menopause is 50 plus. You can have perimenopause from 35. And like, we don't know this. We don't learn these things. So that's why after 35, if you're pregnant, it's considered geriatric pregnancy. There's like so many things that are linked together. I know. And so this is why we need to start talking about it, because there's strength in community and there's strength in talking about these things. And one big thing for me as well, if I can suggest to anyone that has a period, is track your cycle, track absolutely every symptom. Because if you go to a doctor's appointment and you have all of this data, all of this information, it will help reinforce your case so much more. And know what you're going to ask for when you go get your tests. Mm. Ask for certain tests, and you're allowed to ask for your results. So take those results, keep a copy, and go ask for a second opinion if you need to, right? We're lucky. We live in Canada. We can go get second opinions freely. We can go do that. So my favorite app is Embody. It's still in beta, I believe, but they don't sell your data, which is amazing. Unlike some other apps, not going to name them, but cringe. And they're fantastic. So I track absolutely everything. So if I can like suggest that to anyone, big one. It's called Embody, Embody.
Amazing. I will link that below.
Thank you.
Making a note of that. so good. And speaking of linking below, where can our listeners best find or support you?
Oh, great. Okay. So my podcast is called Pain With Me, and that's my Instagram handle is painwithme.co, as well as TikTok. I try to be silly. I'm like silly funny. So I try to be with the menstrual comedy, and my podcast is streaming on major platforms.
Amazing. All right. I will have that all linked below. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to chat, to educate us, to share your experience, to share your thoughts. it was really special having you on, and I hope that this episode helped someone else learn how to advocate for themselves.
Thank you so much for having me. That was really sweet. And I have the exact same hopes. Everyone out there, 2024, it's the year of bettering yourself.